upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy majestic king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life to triumph o'er the
listener. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with another edition of The Word of the King here on Six Eyes Radio, coming to you once again from Ireland. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. In The Word of the King, the King James Authorized Version of 1611 declares, "Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face should be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." And again, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. "Where the word of the king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, What doest thou?" On today's edition of The Word of the King, we're going to continue where we left off from last edition. We're going to be talking more about that mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, but we're also going to be talking about her more in light of the woman of Proverbs chapter 7, that harlot of Proverbs chapter 7, that strange woman. And let me just encourage you to, again, if you would, check out our website at www.holiness, H-O-L-Y, as in year, N-E-S-S, Bibles, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, that's www.holiness, H-O-L-Y, as in year, N-E-S-S, Bibles, for, F-O-R, theblind.org, O-R-G. And again, you can go to Sowers of Seed there, and Kenny will inform you later on about how you can contribute to the Word of the King, not just through Six Eyes Radio, but also through our website at Sowers of Seed, and also how you can contribute to Holiness Bibles for the Blind in general there via PayPal. And if you would, again, like to send a check or a money order, you may send a check or money order to the following address. But again, you will want to make sure that you write that check or money order out to Joel. That's J-O-E-L, Joel, like the prophet Joel, J-O-E-L, Groover, G-R-U-V as in Victor, E-R. And then send that to the following address, 2976 Honey, that's H-O-N-E-Y, like honey as in honeybee, Honey Valley, V as in Victor, A-L-L-E-Y Road. Again, 2976 Honey Valley Road, Dallastown, D-A-L-L-A-S-T-O-W-N, Dallastown, Pennsylvania, 17313. Again, 2976 Honey Valley Road, Dallastown, Pennsylvania, 17313. And I would encourage you to also check out Dave Hodges' Common Sense Show, www.thecommonsenseshow.com. That's www.thecommonsenseshow.com. And then also there is Doug Thornton, American Vindicta. I would encourage you to check out as well. Doug Thornton. That's T-H-O-R-N as in Nathan, T-O-N. American Vindicta, V as in Victor, I-N, D as in Daniel, I, C as in Cat, T as in Tom, A. American Vindicta. If you just put in your search engine, Doug Thornton, T-H-O-R-N-T-O-N, dash American Vindicta, V-I-N-D-I-C-T-A, and click on search, and it'll pull up Doug's blog as well as a number of other links, one of which includes his audios at gsradio.net. And then, of course, there's also the blog of Dr. Scott Johnson, Brother Scott Johnson. Just listening to him again last night. He just posted, I believe, three more parts, I mean, three more audios that you can listen to there on his blog, www.contendingfortruth.com. That's www.contendingfortruth.com. And then there's also the blog of Brother John McTernan, who, by the grace of God, may be joining us again next week at www.defendproclaimthefaith.org. It's www, also of Mike Adams, at www.naturalnews.com. It's www.naturalnews.com. And if you have any questions or comments concerning what you will hear on this edition of The Word of the King, you may send those to The Word of the King, AV1611, at hotmail.com. That's The Word of the King, A as in Adam, V as in Victor, 1611, at hotmail.com. And if you would also please be in prayer, Lord willing, I'm hoping to go to Scotland and serve next month for a couple of weeks with this one brother in the Lord there in Scotland by the name of Dane Vogelpool. If you pray for Dane and his family, the Vogelpool family there in Scotland. And again, I would ask you to pray for Brother Andrew Day, Pastor Andrew Day, and the believers here at the Clare Fellowship here in Ennis, Ireland. And then, Lord willing, next month, by the grace of God, I will also return to Israel if you be in prayer about that. And this particular brother, Dane, has a couple of good tracks that he did, and one of those tracks is based on Isaiah 53, and I would love to take have any number of those available to use for the Lord there in Israel by God's grace. So if you be in prayer about that. And now, before I have Kenny go ahead with our first recording, I'm going to open up in a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles a while. In the meantime, have your Bibles ready to Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 7. And after we're done with the audios, I'm going to read a testimony of a couple by the name of or known as the Tanners. and why the Tanners challenge the Mormon establishment. But before we get into that, let me now open a word of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, dear Lord God, again for Christ, our great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, having gone as that forerunner, paving the way for us to come boldly under your throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And even so, dear Lord God, I pray for more grace now in the bringing forth of your words, and I pray for more grace now on behalf of my brothers and sisters in Christ listening, that they would benefit and glean from what they are hearing on this edition of the Word of the King. And I pray also for any lost souls, any of those sheep who have yet to hearken to the voice of the Good Shepherd, dear Lord God, to hearken to his voice. As the voice of the Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, through what they hear, by way of your words, power of your Holy Spirit working, through this edition of the Word of the King. And again, I do lift up Charles and everybody at Six Eyes Radio, along with Kenny and Ruth there. And we do pray, Father God, that you would now, dear Lord God, be honored and glorified, and that you would strengthen us all, dear Lord God, as we seek, dear Lord God, to serve you, dear Lord God, to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Okay, Kenny, first recording, please.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Israel is in total and absolute chaos. This is something that's spreading throughout the planet. This is not confined to Israel or just the United States. The planet is rising up and having freedom birth pangs against those that would oppose us and impose very, very bad and dangerous values upon society and multiple civilizations at the same time. And you're saying, does this have a theme to it? The answer is yes. We'll talk about that here on the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges, as you know, and you know what we do here, and we're glad to be with you. We are brought to you by something that I'm sorry to tell you. You need this. America will be the site of chemical attacks if war breaks out. It might even be just a terrorist event, but the Russians and Chinese have threatened it enough. I believe them when they say it. When they tell you who they are, believe them. This is the M54 gas mask. Protects your eyes, your nose, your respiratory system. It's easy on, easy off, and they're offering it for up to 70% off right now. I think everyone should have one for your home, for your car. You need to be prepped. We talked about food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Unfortunately, the world has de-evolved, and America's national security has disintegrated under Biden. We're not safe. You need to take the matter into your own hands. GetAGasMask.com is where you go. GetAGasMask.com. And if you're coming to us on YouTube, make sure you click the Show More button or you won't see everything you need to see. Well, we are, it's interesting for me to say that Israel is in total and absolute chaos. Absolutely. They're becoming more authoritarian. In fact, actually, there's a bill in the Knesset that shocked me. Because Jews and Christians have usually worked well together in terms of religious, interreligious cooperation. It hasn't been a kill the other side kind of approach that you see with other religions. But now they want to pass this bill that says Christianity is a crime. And I'm paraphrasing here, but effectively that's it. And Israel also, too, now is looking at the opposition leader to Netanyahu. He's saying oppose the Israeli government. He's calling for widespread and very complete civil disobedience. Don't do anything they tell you. We are approaching that point here in America. I'm being very, very serious. I don't think we're far off from people rising up and saying that as well. Israel's not alone in this, but Israel's situation is bad. And they also face a situation now where the Palestinians, under their supervisory control, and a lot of it's abusive, some of it's reactionary to the Palestinians themselves, but the Palestinians are running TV commercials, sticking pins and needles, saying these are the Jews, we need to kill every one of them, and they're promoting basically a jihad against Israeli citizens. So the things are a mess in Israel right now, and I don't see any easy way out of this. Israel, to survive, will become authoritarian. And when Iran becomes linked with these movements, which they probably already are, I look for Israel to attack Iran. Could that be the catalyst for World War III? You know, it's one that fits. It's one that fits. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up. Like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting, commercial-free, censorship-free, unbelievably inexpensive, pennies on the dollar, and we're getting five-star ratings on the world's major platforms to cover what you need to know to stay one step ahead of the burning bridge. TheCommonSenseShow.tv. We'll see you over there.
Now, that law that Dave referred to there, dear listener, in the context of that clip that you just heard, I believe that law that he was referring to is the one that I had told you about not long ago in the program, where they were actually trying to make it, I mean, it's already been illegal for some time to evangelize anyone under the age of 18 in Israel, but they were even trying, like almost a month ago, because I'd even mentioned it here in the program about how they were trying to once again make it to where it was illegal to evangelize anybody, period, whether they were 18 years old or not. And I'm pretty sure that's the one that he was talking about. And if you recall, in case you forgot, I did notify you as I was informed, did not go through. Netanyahu said that he was not going to go along with it. However, dear listener, you need to be sure that you're saved. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know Messiah Yeshua. You have access to the throne of grace. And you can pray the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man that avails much. You need to continue praying, because I guarantee you that there are Antichrist forces at work there in Israel. But there are devils there that will not give up and will not take no for an answer when it comes to that, okay? And they'll do everything they can to see to it that the preaching of the gospel is totally criminalized over there in the land of Israel. So please keep praying, if you would, for that as you continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and continue to pray for more of the Jewish people to come to know that peace that is within and is only through the Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay, Kenny, next clip, please.
And just before I do, Tim, as you were speaking there, we have to also remember they'll use that as a test pilot. If they start there and get that to go through, other countries will follow.
Yeah, good point, good point.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, enslaved mind at the time. And we are brought to you by Get a Gas Mask. As in getagasmask.com. This is the M54 military-grade hardware mask. It protects your eyes, your nose, your respiratory system. Easy on, easy off. It works. It's in use in militaries around the world. And now you can get one. And you're thinking, why in the world would I want a gas mask? And that's the exact same question I might have asked 4 or 5 years ago. I'm no longer asking because I know absolutely when we go to war with Russia and or China, we will be the victims of a chemical attack, whether it's domestically based from fifth column insurgents that have crossed our border, or whether it's done on a formal military operation. It matters not if you're on the receiving end and you don't have a way to protect yourself. This is a way to protect yourself against a threat that's almost guaranteed. I don't see any way that this does not happen, particularly if we go to war. So what can you do? Well, you can go to our description box, but I need to warn you, if you're on your mobile device, you won't see what you need to see. And in the description box, you'll see exactly why you need this in more detail than I presented it. You'll also see that you can save up to 70% for military-grade hardware masks. This is a really good deal. So go to getagasmask.com or go to our description box and click on the appropriate links. Well, we are in a bad, bad, bad way here, and I just want to, you know, it's kind of interesting as I look at how I string the stories together. Sometimes I think it's divinely inspired because I sometimes don't give a lot of thought to it, but sometimes they just kind of all fit together. And what we're looking at here is I have here, it says we're the frog in the boiling pot. And as I talked about the border last time, most people that look at the border are in that, they're that frog in the boiling pot. Most people don't understand whether they're in the boiling pot or they're watching the boiling pot flow over. And you know the old metaphor, right? The frog's in the boiling pot. Oh, this is good. It's nice. It's like a sauna. Thank you very much. And then the heat gradually gets turned up. And then pretty soon, it becomes life-threatening. And then it becomes deadly. And the frog never knew what hit it. And this is the approach that's being done to us. All of you are the frogs in the boiling pot. And most of you, and I'm saying this with all due respect, fail to recognize where you're at. Most of you think you're in the, I'll tell you, you know, this just flashed on me. I wasn't going to say this, but you know the old saying about the Nazis. First they came for this group, and I said nothing. Then they came for that group, and I said nothing. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak. That's a frog in the boiling pot type of situation where we think we're on the outside looking into certain groups. Well, I'm not a Christian. Look, I know they're arresting them for praying in public, and they're condemning them for their beliefs. The Restrict Act will take what they say online and turn it into hate speech. Boop, domestic terrorism, 20 years in prison, $1 million fine. Okay? Oh, that sucks for those Christians. Oh, but what about when they come for your group? And your liberties are already the frog in the boiling pot. And when you remove liberties, you remove the barrier that keeps the government from enforcing their will on you for selfish reasons and to use any means possible to do it. And that's what we fail to recognize. Every one of you is a frog in the boiling pot. And very few of us recognize that and are standing up against it. You know, I heard a pastor recently say, large church in Phoenix, Christ Church of the Valley, CCV for short. And the pastor said, people fail to live their lives with the end in mind. And we always talk about when you want to achieve goals, work with the end in mind. What is your goal? Are your actions lining up with that? And he said that we live our life and we're not thinking about our eternal destiny and how we're affecting it by what we do today. That's very true. And you can take that logic and even break it down to a smaller component and look at it in terms of our national identity with our people. Our people are in the same boat. We're living our lives as if it doesn't make any difference. If people understood the evil that's consuming our country right now in every aspect of our life, then they would come to realize, I'm no longer watching the frogs boil over there. I'm the frog being boiled right here. And then we might rise up. Think about the other side. Why don't they just come along and say, okay, the Constitution's over. Boop, that's it. We're taking your guns. You will shut your mouth or we'll do whatever to you that we want to do to force compliance. And we don't like some groups over here, so we're going to deal with you people too. You would have an immediate revolution in a country that has 393 million guns, right? So they're smart. What they do, they just chip away at the freedoms, the frog in the boiling pot situation. And you're a frog, and I'm a frog. And we have to decide, are we going to jump out of the pot and defend ourselves, stand up to this evil, come out from among them, as the Bible likes to say, or are you going to acquiesce and die the slow death? Choice is yours. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up, like us. Make sure you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting. And we go in-depth with our panel of experts, and we want to keep you one step ahead of the burning bridge until we can reach enough critical mass with numbers of people to stand up to this evil and take our country back. So join us in that endeavor, the CommonSenseShow.tv. It's good. You'll like it. We get 5-star ratings on the world's major platforms.
The Word of God says, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 declares, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What are you doing today with the Son of God, Christ? I repeat, what are you doing today with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received him by faith, and that not of yourself? Have you put your faith in him and his death, burial, and resurrection alone to save you from the wages of your sin and from the wrath to come? Okay, Kenny, next clip.
We have another good news, bad news story. And it has to do that with some of our people in our country are taking enormous risks with their safety to try to bring justice to causes they believe in. Now, whether or not we personally believe in the causes or not of these people is irrelevant to the argument, but they have a First Amendment constitutionally protected right to do so. But the places they go are inhabited by college presidents, mayors, police, and governors that think that murder of these people because they disagree with them is justified. We're going to give you a couple of examples where if you step outside your door, you could have a problem, especially if you believe the wrong thing. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure, a real privilege to come before you. And well, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, we are in our last legs. And I'm saying this sincerely. This isn't hyperbole. This isn't a rating statement. This is it. And I talk to so many people in the military, in politics. You know, some people feel they can't speak out. Some do. I talk to people in all walks of life, and we're all saying the same thing. We have come to the end game. Absolutely, we're at the end game. And you, as a red-blooded, loyal American that believes in the Constitution, some of you, most of you who are probably Christian, you are a threat to these people because of their background. All right, we're going to get into this story here. I need to tell you that we're brought to you by Ageless Multi-Collagen. My gift to you, a great product. This is something that I don't know that your survival is dependent upon, because a lot of our products are, you know, food, our water, you know, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Yeah, those things are real important. But how you feel about yourself and how you feel generally is important. If you could replace lost collagen with this product does, and how the product works is described in the description box, hit the link. I have to tell you, this works. This is going to push back the hands of time. Your hair is not going to fall out as much. You're not going to wrinkle as much. Your muscles and joints will be far superior condition. You won't feel tired all the time. You'll have a get up and go again that previously got up and went. This is one of our most popular products. And they guarantee the results. 60-day money-back guarantee, 51% off, healthwithdave.com. Oh, man, this is beyond the pale, folks. It truly is. Riley Gaines, regardless of your feeling on her area of concern, doesn't matter, she's invited to speak at a university, and she never got to. She got punched and kicked and spit on before she ever said a word, because they know where she stands on an issue. And I got to think, you know, I've had guests in my previous classrooms I disagreed with, but I thought my students needed to see different sides. And I treated my guests with respect. Some of them would even ask me, well, Professor, how do you feel about this? I said, it's not really within my lifestyle and what I believe in, or doesn't really, it kind of conflicts with some other beliefs I have. But no, I recognize the right for you to be who you are, and you're protected by the Constitution. God bless you, and you're free to speak your mind. And that's how most Americans are. I'm not unique. And Riley Gaines, crap beat out of her, held confined in a classroom for 3 hours while these animals attacked her. Ron DeSantis, speaking, I believe it was in New Hampshire, barely escaped being mobbed and trampled by protesters who didn't like what he was saying. I honestly, he was talking about a number of issues. I don't know what the trigger point was. I looked at his topic list, and I'm thinking, could be any or all. And they charged the stage, trying to get to him, to tear him limb from limb. So you have the right to be mobbed and even murdered by a crowd who disagrees with you. If I can imagine if I just get up and I take a stand on something. I think Biden's the biggest criminal to ever serve in the White House, and I go down and I list my proof, and if the president of that college disagrees with me, it's okay for his students to mob me and threaten my life. That's the America you live in now. This is Bolshevik communism. This is the Red Revolution. This is what we've seen before in history. This isn't America. These people should be jailed. I know Riley Gaines said, I'm going to prosecute these people. Good luck, Riley. Because there ain't no one in that community that's going to take the case. And the judge will summarily dismiss it, because they're all criminally corrupt in the area that you were in, San Francisco State College. Ron DeSantis, you think that Democratic-run state's going to support you? Yeah, he knows the answer to that question. But see, none of us are safe. And I believe, too, if people want to get up and say, hey, I believe in these things, and this is my lifestyle, or this is my political belief, they have the right to do it on any side. As long as they're not saying, I want to kill you, or I'm going to hurt you, aside from those inflammatory statements, simply to say what you believe in and what you disagree with, we should let everyone speak. Social media has set the tone for censorship. Twitter, combining with the American government, the FBI and the DOJ, that we've had congressional testimony, this is where it started, but it's not where it's stopping. We've communicated a message in America that if we don't like what you say, we can hurt you, even kill you, threaten your life. This is savagery. We don't need Donald Trump to be charged with a non-existent bogus charge to say we live in a third world country that's a banana republic. The behaviors I've described here today are third world banana republic thugs. And I'm so sorry this is what we've become. And the longer it goes on, folks, Bosnia 1992, look it up. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up, like us. Make sure that you're a member of the CommonSenseShow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting.
Okay. Now, dear listener, if you've not already done so, if you would open up your Bible to Proverbs chapter 7, and I'm now going to read this testimony concerning the Tanners, why the Tanners challenge the Mormon establishment. And before I do that, let me just also read here Proverbs 14, verses 33 to 35, as you think about the things that you have heard from these clips, Dave Hodges. Proverbs 14, verses 33 to 35 declares, "Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame." And again, Proverbs 14, 34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And that includes the United States of America. It's written in Psalm 9, verse 17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." And no nation is exempt from that law. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And now, I will read why the Tanners challenge the Mormon establishment. And I read, "We left the Mormon church." Section of Salt Lake City lives a Christian couple who are considered apostates by most Utahans. Gerald and Sandra Tanner, raised in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Mormon, are publishing rare historical documents discrediting their former faith. And I'll just interject for the moment, dear listener, and remind you that the Word of God warns about another gospel, another spirit, and another Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He warns about Satan transforming himself as an angel of light, and therefore it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends should be according to their works. And that end, summed up in the context of Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I read on. The Tanners, parents of pioneers. Sandra is a great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, the Mormon, quote-unquote, prophet who led his people to Utah after Joseph Smith's death. The Tanners left the Mormon church after becoming convicted that its teachings were unbiblical and that historical evidences of their faith were inaccurate. When Gerald was in his late teens, he was shown a copy of David Whitmer's booklet, An Address to All Believers in Christ. Whitmer charged that Joseph Smith had altered many of the revelations contained in Mormon scripture, the doctrine and covenants, since their original edition. As a devout Mormon, Gerald had a hard time believing that. "I threw it down in disgust afterward. I began to think that maybe that wasn't the right way to face the problem." David Whitmer was wrong. Surely I could prove it. So I read the pamphlet through. I could not prove him wrong. The revelations Joseph gave had been changed. I later went to Independence, Missouri, and saw a copy of the original Book of Commandments, which confirmed David Whitmer's statement, quote-unquote. From then on, Gerald began his research into the history of the Mormon Church. He has found more evidence that the church, which he had once, at one time, firmly believed was the only true church, is in error. But Gerald found more than evidence against the Mormon Church. While in Independence, Gerald received Jesus Christ, a foundation immovable and secure. I met a group of real Christian people, explains Gerald. Their lives were different than mine. I knew they had something that I didn't have, a reality, a love, a peace in their lives. They all were bearing testimony that the Lord did it for them, not what a church did. It impressed me. Let me ask you a question, dear listener. Just interject here again and ask you a question. Do the people that look at you as a professing Christian, as a professing believer in Jesus, the Messiah, do they know that you have something different? Do they know that you have something that they don't have? As surely as they don't know him, do they know that? Can they tell? I trust by the grace of God, by the way you're living, they can. And I go on. Gerald realized that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. The Mormon Church had taught him good morals, but they had not taught him much concerning Christ to change his life. Gerald heard much talk about Joseph Smith, but very little about Christ. Gerald stopped trusting his own efforts to earn a right standing with God and turned to Christ's promises. It was Gerald who led Sandra out of Mormonism. Born and raised in the Mormon Church, she had very strong ties to it and was about 17 before she ever attended another church. Because I was active in paying my tithes, I thought I was in pretty good standing with God, she says. I knew I sinned, but I felt being active in the church would somehow outweigh what I did wrong. I believed I was inherently good. I had no fear of God's judgment. Soon after, however, Sandra began to doubt Mormon teaching. Could it really be the only true church? Was polygamy right? Why couldn't the Negro, howbeit the African, the black individual, hold the priesthood? Sandra asked these and other questions. And I would just interject to you who are listening, yes, there was a time when the Negro, be it the African, the black individual from the, howbeit the African race, I wouldn't say that's anything to resent because if you had been serving in the Mormon priesthood, dear listener, you would have been serving a priesthood of Satan. You would not have been serving any priesthood of the living God, that's for sure. And I go on. When I started college, I enrolled in the Mormon Institute of Religion class, she, howbeit Sandra, says. I started asking questions in class to answer my doubts. One day my teacher took me aside and told me to stop asking questions in class. There was a girl attending the class who was thinking of joining the church. I was disturbing her with my questions. My attempt to find answers to my questions had been silenced. Shortly after this, Sandra met Gerald while she was in Salt Lake City visiting her grandmother. We began studying the Bible and Mormonism together. I began to see contradictions between the Bible and Mormon teachings, Sandra recalls. I grew up thinking Brigham Young was one of the greatest men that ever lived. He was presented as a holy man, God's prophet, seer, and revelator. Things I knew about him were from beautiful Sunday school stories, how he received revelation to lay out the streets of Salt Lake City, how he was nice to his kids. All I knew about Young was the kind of stuff you would get on a tourist guide. Ben Gerald had me read some of Young's statements in the Journal of Discourses on Blood Atonement. I was shocked. I knew that Young was wrong, but I couldn't reconcile these sermons with my image of him. I knew these were not the words of a prophet of God. As I studied, I began to see something wrong in my own life. I was a sinful hypocrite. I had thought I was right with God in spite of my sins. Early one morning, I decided to listen to the radio for a while. I turned to a Christian station. A minister was preaching on the great love of God and the mercy offered to us through Jesus Christ. Nothing ever struck me with such force. I opened my heart to God and received Christ as my Savior. The Holy Spirit flooded my soul with such joy that I wept in an hour. After we married, we became Christians. We wanted to tell our family and friends why we didn't believe the Mormon Church anymore. So we started mimeographing research we had done. It started out just for family and friends, but as we found more people interested, we started sharing it with more people. Married a little more than a year, Sandra and Gerald returned to Salt Lake City in 1960, where Gerald worked as a machinist. At first, the Tanners had no intention of distributing their findings as a full-time occupation. However, as time went on, they felt obligated to publicly share the material which Mormon authorities had suppressed from the public for years. We will never forget our interview with Mormon apostle LeGrant Richards in the fall of 1960, says Gerald. When Mr. Richards learned we intended to examine the Mormon faith, he emphatically stated, "I'm warning you, don't start anything against this church." Afterward, we were convinced that Mormon leaders dreaded an investigation. We decided to write a book on the Mormon church. We bought a larger power-operated mimeograph machine and ran our first edition of, soon quit his machinist job and went into publishing full-time. They printed rare documents out of print, historical books, and manuscripts that had been locked in the church's historical archives for years. During these early years, things were not easy, but with three children and recently purchased house and Gerald's recent surgery, their bills more than doubled. Concerned Christians living out of state helped with financial needs. Gerald and Sandra literally worked around the clock to release their first edition of Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. They took turns typing while the others slept. The Tanners had a firm obligation to the people they loved. "We feel our work is on behalf of the Mormon people," Gerald says. "We feel we owe our Mormon brothers the truth God has revealed to us. We have a great deal of faith in our cause, and we believe the truth will eventually prevail." Tanner's ministry, many Mormons have found new life in Christ. Ex-Mormons for Jesus' fellowships are established throughout the world. Many of these new Christians trace their conversions to the Tanners, who have published more than 50 titles. "We get a number of letters and phone calls every week," explains Sandra, "from people telling us they left the church because of our research. A lot of them were converts within the last year or two. They go into Mormonism quickly without understanding its doctrine or knowing its history. Then someone shows them some of our research and the person feels he has been deceived. He has not been given a proper presentation of what he was joining. Many Christians are unaware of Mormonism's unbiblical doctrines. The Tanners strongly feel that if Christians were made aware of these teachings, the growth rate of the Mormon church would be significantly curtailed. The following are a few Mormon teachings of which investigators of Mormonism are not usually informed. First, God the Father was not always God. He was born to a woman on another earth, died, was resurrected, and exalted to the position of God, just as all other gods were before him. Number two, we have a heavenly mother who is the wife of God the Father. The third Mormon belief that many are usually not informed of: Jesus was not begotten of the Holy Ghost, but was conceived through relations between a flesh and blood God and Mary. Again, Jesus was not begotten of the Holy Ghost, but was conceived through relations between a flesh and bone God and Mary. And the fourth belief that many are usually not informed of concerning the Mormons: eternal life in the kingdom of God is not a free gift of God's grace, but is earned only by those who are married in a Mormon temple and who keep a number of laws and commandments. For documentation along with an in-depth study of Mormon doctrine, see The Changing of Mormonism by Gerald Sandra Tanner, Moody Press. Mormon doctrine also teaches that their church is the only true and living church upon the face of the earth. Let me just interject and say, sound familiar? We were talking about the Roman Catholic whore, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth last week. We'll be talking about her more on this edition of the Word of the King. And, of course, she teaches the same lie, that salvation is through a church and not through Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Contrary to Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is in and through a name, a person, not a church. And I continue. 1854, Mormon apostle Orson Pratt declared that both Catholics and Protestants are nothing less than the whore of Babylon. Today, the Mormon church is not quite as explicit in its public statements about other churches, but it still believes all the creeds of other churches are an abomination and all professing Christians are corrupt. And I would also remind you, dear listener, the Roman Catholic Jesuit order, they started basically every major cult since the time of the Reformation, 1517, and that includes the Mormon cult, commonly known as Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, with their false prophet, their false Christ, their false apostles, who say they are apostles and are found liars before the living God. If God be true, but every man a liar. And that includes any so-called apostle of the Mormon cult. And that includes that so-called apostolic descendant of Peter there in Rome. Let God be true and let him be a liar. The Mormon Church Post, a full-time missionary force of more than 29,000, which is more than one half of all non-Catholic missionaries on the field. In 1979, the Mormon Church reached more than 500 converts a day, which places it as one of the fastest-growing religious bodies in the world. Each week, nearly 10 more Mormon chapels are built, growing membership. Most of the converts come from nominal Christian backgrounds. If Christians were more aware of Mormonism and its teachings, it couldn't have the growth rate it does, Gerald says. We're trying to provide information that will explain Mormonism. And I'll just share with you real quickly, dear listener, my favorite verse here from Isaiah 43. Verses 8 through 10, the Word of God declares, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and shew us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Again, especially if you're listening and you're a New Ager, you're some Mormon, you think there's more than one God. God says, you're my witnesses, saith the Lord, of my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. And verse 11 of Isaiah 43 is a good one for the Watchtower Society, the so-called Jehovah's Witnesses. God says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Ask that so-called Jehovah's Witness from the Watchtower Society next time you see them or they knock on your door, is not Jesus Christ the Savior? And then show them what Jehovah says, that he is the Lord, and beside him, Savior. Kenny, do you or anybody else have any comments?
Not actually, but it was some good information there. I enjoyed it right there.
Okay, in that case, Proverbs chapter 7. And, of course, Kenny, be ready because, as you know, I'm going to be letting you basically, after I give my take with each verse, I'm going to be giving you a couple minutes as the Spirit of God leads. Proverbs chapter 7. We'll go ahead here and read the complete chapter and then come back to verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now on the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey, bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she calls him to yield with the flattering of her lips. She forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And again, death, doing evil against triune holiness. Again, it's a phenomenon known as the cross, where the letters of the word define the word. And when you do evil against the Most High God, you are doing evil. You are doing sin against triune holiness. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. 1 John 5:7 declares. Now, another aspect of the cross, because I want you to follow me here now. Again, this is how, where the letters of a word define the word, or the letters of a name define the name. We're talking here about the harlot. The harlot. Well, there's the physical harlot, and then there's the spiritual harlot that we have spoken of just last week from Revelation 17. Mystery Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, when you think of the physical, the sexual harlot, follow me now. Abundance. Relentlessly lusty over time. Again, having abundance. Relentlessly lusty over time. And again, as I've said before in the past, when you think of lust, think living under Satan or sin's tyranny. Physical, sexual harlot. When we talk about the spiritual harlot, the very mother of harlots and abominations of the earth and her daughters, okay, and that mother of harlots, that woman who sits on seven mountains and reigns over the kings of the earth, follow me now, again, having abundance, reigning lustfully over time, because it's ultimately in the realm of time that the physical sexual harlot as well as the spiritual harlot does her thing. And that woman of Revelation 17 is that city that reigns over the kings of the earth. And again, there's hardly a president, prime minister, hardly a leader on the face of the earth that sooner or later does not visit Rome, Vatican City. Now, something that Brother Kenny pointed out last week that I thought was very good and worth bringing out again in this edition, he pointed out about how in Proverbs chapter 31, that virtuous woman who's has a crown to her husband, her price is far above rubies, and how that woman in Proverbs 31 represents true religion, true faith, howbeit the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when we look here at Proverbs 7, we look at this woman, this harlot, okay, she represents false religion, the faith of devils. And when we talk about the faith of devils, what do we mean by the faith of devils? If you recall, it's written in the book of James that the devils, they believe and they tremble. But trembling does not necessarily equal fear of the Lord. Mind, a good way to understand this is keep in mind about what happened after the fall when Adam and Eve fell there in the garden. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If you recall, God, he went out, howbeit in their midst, and said, Adam, where art thou? As soon as they had fallen, Adam and Eve, into sin, and as soon as they knew that they were naked, they fled. They fled from the Lord. They fled from him, not to him. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord would have driven them to flee to him, but no. They fled in fear of him, and that's exactly what the faith of devils will cause you to do. It'll not cause you to flee to the Lord. It'll cause you to flee from him. And for the perfect picture of this, turn Revelation chapter 20, as you hold your place there in Proverbs, Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to start here in Revelation 20, verse 10, down through end of the chapter, verse 15. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. In verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven. Notice, they didn't flee too. They fled away. They fled away. That's what the faith of devils will cause you to do, dear listener. It'll cause you to flee away, to run away from the Most High God. And there was found no place for them. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The psalmist wrote, though he make his bed in hell, the Lord is there. And though you make your bed in hell, dear listener, the Lord is there. You cannot hide from him. You cannot hide from him. The darkness is as light to him. He sees it all. Revelation 21, verse 8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars showed their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But that's where the faith of devils will get you, dear listener. It'll get you in the lake of fire for all of eternity with the devil and his angels. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, true religion, true faith, is what you need. Religion is pure and undefiled before God the Father. Proverbs 7. Let's read Proverbs 31. And let's read of this woman here who is a picture of her, represents true religion, true faith, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's try to keep that in mind, what we hear here, what we look at here. Let's keep this in mind as we go through Proverbs 7. And I would tell you in your own time, what would be good to do is compare Proverbs 7 with Proverbs 31 and see the difference between these women. But here, starting in verse 1, and we'll go through the entire chapter here. Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The crown of her husband doth safely trust in her, so ye shall have no need of spoil. And keep in mind, too, as you hear this and as you study and meditate upon it, surely as this represents true religion, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is a picture of how you and I, believer in Jesus, believer in Yeshua the Messiah, this is how we are supposed to be in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to bear the virtue of our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And as surely as we will do our bridegroom good and not evil all the days of our life, we will long to diligently keep his commandments and do that which is pleasing in his sight and be led by his spirit in all things, bearing the fruit of his spirit, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the kindness, and everything that goes with it, temperance, self-control, you name it. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh woolly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Real quickly, verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. Planting a vineyard using the fruit of your hands. Every missionary, every evangelist that goes forth and starts churches in these countries is basically doing just that. Every country is a field. And again, every missionary, every evangelist that goes forth and plants a church in any of these countries is, as it were, with the fruit of their hands, planting a vineyard for the Lord. By the power of his word, by the power of his spirit, by the power of his gospel. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Right there on that verse, think Ephesians 6, is the whole armor of God. Verse 18, Proverbs 31, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And every time we put forth the gospel in this lost and dying world, dear listener, as our hands out, we're putting the good news. We're reaching out to the spiritually poor, the spiritually needy. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She is not afraid, not afraid. God has not given us, you and I, the church, purchased by his blood. He's not given you and I the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 22, she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. What did Paul write in the context of his one epistle to the church of Corinth? If any man love God, the same is known of him. If you and I love God, if you and I love our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we ought to, it will be known of us. We're not going to have to tell anybody. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and she shall rejoice in time to come. And indeed, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And even as he, the God of wisdom, as wisdom incarnate, has strength, he gave us strength and honor for our clothing, even as he clothed us in his righteousness. Yet strength and honor her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. Verse 26 down through verse 31. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Yes, even as he gave us strength, even as he gave us wisdom, even as he gave us his righteousness, we, by the spirit of faith, we open up our mouths and testifying of him in wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And even so, if we love the Lord as we ought, we will look to the ways of the household of faith, and we will love one another as we ought, dear brother, dear sister in Christ. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. And even so, are you looking forward? Will the Lord Jesus Christ say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Are you looking forward? I know I'm looking forward to hearing him say those words to me as his blood-bought child. Her children rise up, call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, Kenny, do you have any comments you would like to make at this time?
Well, so far, you're right on where we need to be, and I'll have other comments as we get in there, but you so far are hitting the main point that, yes, true religion, we should be serving the Lord, while those in false religion are basically, yes, just like the harlot. And then so let's get into Proverbs chapter 7, and I'll have my main comments there.
Okay. Now, Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. The psalmist, in the book of Psalms, it's written, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And I'm pretty sure it's Psalm 119 you'll find that. In Psalm, the psalmist wrote, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Are you hiding God's word in your heart, that you might not sin against him? Dear listener, again, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Kenny?
Well, that's a very good point. Many of us don't. Even after we've gotten saved, many of us fail to remember that God's word has to be a part of our life when it should be.
Okay, verse 2. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Now, as we think the exhortation again, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Think about it. With your eye has to do with your sight. God says, the entrance of thy word, I'll be at the entrance of his word. God's word says, giveth light. It's written in Psalms. The entrance of thy word giveth light. So, as you lay up God's word, the light of his word in your heart, dear listener. You keep his commandments, and by grace through faith, that not of yourself, you live. And his law, as the apple of your eye, all the more enlightens you to see and to understand things that you would otherwise not see and not understand. Hence, it's written also in the book of Proverbs that the path of the righteous groweth brighter and brighter by the day. In so many words, I'm sort of paraphrasing there a little bit. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter day by day. Kenny, make your comment.
Yeah, and here's a good point here. As it talks about the apple of the eye, that's also a comment to the, you know, what you cherish, what you really cherish. Now, it's talking about the law and talking, obviously, about the scripture, which, remember, in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, if we realize that Jesus was that Word, so we realize that Jesus Christ was that Word. He was the Word in human flesh. Well, we say, we got all these songs. All hail King Jesus. Praises to his name. What a mighty God we serve. We talk about we're going to praise him so much that we're going to have the house fall down. You've heard some of those songs, Tim, you know, in the charismatic church. Oh, sacrifice of praise. Will you bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord? Well, you could bring your sacrifice of praise until the house falls down, okay? But the fact is, in the book of Isaiah, where it talks about God in chapter 40, verses 12 to 18, your sacrifice of praise ain't even beans to God. You could have all kinds of stuff to praise him, and it still means nothing to him. Well, here we find that he's supposed to be the Word of God in John, and you say you love Christ. Well, he's the Word. And according to Proverbs 7, you saw in that verse that he is supposed to be the apple of our eye in the Word. So is his Word the apple of our eye? Kitty Wells put it the best when she sang that song, Dust on the Bible. Do you have dust on your Bible when your neighbors, your friends, your family, when they come over to your house, do they see that you put more stock in magazines, in worldly magazines, worldly music books, than you do your Bible? Good question.
And again, dear listener, what Kate was basically alluding to there is, it's been said, the way you treat the Word, capital W, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the way you treat the Word, lowercase w, the very scriptures as you hold them in your hand. The degree to which you love the one is the same degree to which you'll love the other. And how true it is, how true it is. Verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, call understanding thy kinswoman. Verse 3 says, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Again, verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. So again, basically, how do you bind them upon your fingers in this context? How do you write them upon the table of your heart? Again, it's written, Psalm, pretty sure, 119, Psalmist declares, under inspiration, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You must spend time meditating. You must spend time in the scriptures, thinking upon the scriptures, and listening in for the still small soul voice of God and the teaching of the Holy Spirit in the process. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Kenny, do you have any comments on this? I'll let you go first if you do.
Okay, where it's talking about wisdom is my sister. Well, a lot of people might take exception to that, okay? Of course, we'll be getting into this in Proverbs chapter 8, but a lot of people might take exception to that, saying, well, here we got, of course, coming into chapter 8, they see that and they take that as God saying that God is effeminate. That is not what it's saying, okay? What it is saying is that wisdom, which is Christophany, which is Christ appearing before his actual appearance here on earth, is what we have there is the fact that Christ is using a, if you will, a metaphor so we can understand a little better. But he's not saying that Christ is a woman or that it's his feminine side showing out. Hey, maybe he should have been a transsexual. That's not what he's saying. No, wisdom, they use the metaphor there so that we could get an idea that, like watching players on a stage, so that we can understand like players or characters in a book, so that you can understand, okay, wisdom is, okay, we're going to put wisdom as a woman so that we can understand this is a woman, this is a guy, this is another gentleman, this is another lady, and so on, so that we can understand each character and what their duties are, what their roles are. But we don't say, okay, well, wisdom being a woman and Jesus Christ being a man, okay, there one's a woman, one's a man, so God, no. We have to understand in heaven, remember what Jesus said about the angels. When he was asked about marriage, and he says, well, they brought to him and this issue about, well, if a man had married a wife, she died, and so on and so forth, and basically the brothers syndrome, the brother-in-law syndrome thing. They were bringing up the dead brother law. That's what they were bringing up. The brothers died from the eldest to the youngest, and there were seven brothers, and the oldest, and right down to the youngest, they all died, and finally the woman died. So this one woman had all seven brothers in a family. And they were saying, well, according to the Jewish elder brother law, which is she's supposed to be passed down so that the seed would not be extinguished, so that the seed could go on. Well, they came to Jesus and they said, well, they thought they'd trap him on this, saying, well, if the first had her, the second had her, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and so on, well, whose wife would she be when they all got to heaven? And when they rise again, who is she going to be? And he said, wait a minute, you don't even understand. When they get to heaven, they're all going to be as the angels. Angels are neither male nor female, but yet when you read in Scripture, you find angels are referred to as male gender. But yet in Jesus, he tells us they're neither male nor female. So which is true? I believe that what it is, what it's saying is they don't have sexual relations. So the fact is when we get to heaven, since we don't have sexual relationships, it isn't going to matter whether a person is of the male gender or the female gender. That role is no longer going to mean beings. Up there, you're just people. In this case, we are just sinners who were saved by the grace of Christ. It ain't going to matter whether you were a male or a female. Well, as far as wisdom being a female and Christ being a male, that ain't going to mean beans because they're up in heaven, not down here on earth. See, when it was talking about wisdom, that was talking about a heavenly portrayal. That's not talking about an earthly one. So there we have it.
And on that note, I would just say that, to add to what Kenny said, that the use of sister in that context in relation to wisdom and the use of kinswoman in relation to understanding probably has a similar connotation to mother in the context of Jerusalem, which is above and free and the mother of us all. There's a very similar context. And I'm sure you would probably agree with that, would you not, Kenny?
100%, Rick. There's another example. See, that was just another example I could have brought up, but I didn't just for the sake of time.
Okay, verse 5 of Proverbs 7. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Again, Proverbs 7, verses 4 and 5. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And before I comment, Kenny, would you please play the two Midway songs?
Okay, just give me one little sec. All right, here we go.
Thank you. How great.
How great thou art. How great thou art. And sing to my soul, my Savior God, sweet. How great thou art. How great thou of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart when I will bow in humble
Revelation 22, starting in verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Again, God says, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The trigger, or stabbing with the knife, dear listener. Perhaps, I'm sure you may have looked at somebody already and said, I'll kill him, I'll kill her, I'll kill you. Well, God counts you a murderer. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery, but they're already in his heart. Again, verse 16 through the end of the chapter here, Revelation 22. I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And again, it's written, for all sin comes short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no not one. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. And Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 11 declares, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. In verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. In verse 13 of Romans 10 declares, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, Kenny, if you would play our next song, please. Hallelujah. Amen. How great is our God. He is indeed. And again, dear listener, here, Proverbs 7, verses 4 and 5. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now, hold your place there. Hold your place there and turn to Revelation. Proverbs 7, verse 5 says, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. We're going to look at this woman, Revelation 17, 18. This Jezebel of Revelation 17, 18, as Brother Kenny appropriately referred to her in our last edition. Before I read here Revelation 18, let me just read again here the first five verses of Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, talked to me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And again, rehearsing evil. This woman, Revelation 17, she is hell-bent on rehearsing evil. This Jezebel. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads, ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness for fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Just like she has a name written on her forehead, this Jezebel, Revelation 17, this woman, sits on seven mountains and reigns over the kings of the earth. We, the church purchased by the very blood of the living God, who inherit that new Jerusalem, somebody's name on our foreheads. And that name is none other than the very name of our God. But in Revelation chapter 18, starting in verse 1, we're going to see how this woman, this Jezebel of Revelation 17, 18, flatters herself. Verse 1 of Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You notice the word abundance right there? Dear listener, that's another reason why, in the context of defining this harlot of harlots, I said again, having abundance, reigning lustfully over time. Even as Revelation 17, 18 says of this woman, this harlot of harlots, kings of the earth. Again, verse 4 of Revelation chapter 18. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, and that she receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. And the cup that she hath filled to her, double. Verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself. Oh, even as she was glorifying herself, she was flattering herself in her iniquity. Her iniquity would be found to be hateful. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. When God says in Galatians 6, verse 7, that he is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. They that sow to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. And this harlot of harlots is no exception to that. She is going to reap, ultimately, the very corruption that God says she's going to reap, and anybody else will reap when they sow to the corruption of their flesh, their sinful Adamic nature. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Verse 9, and the kings of the earth and live deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Kenny, would you like to make any comments?
Yeah, what we do notice here, too, it says that it said there in her description, she was made drunk with the blood of the saints. Well, as we were talking about last week, right here, the blood of the saints, who, we're not going to mention names, but what false religion had killed saints? Right there's that description we were talking about, because it ties in with Revelation chapter 17. Right here, Revelation 18 tells us that she was drunken with the blood of the saints. She killed saints, and it also tells you that she uses wine. So we know that she uses that, and she's all decked with that purple and precious stones. Yeah, she's all ritzy, but doesn't mean she's right. So if you're part of her, come out from among her before her destruction. Amen.
And for those of you that are thinking that this is in any way talking about Islam, I would just remind you that Islam is one of the daughters. Islam is one of the harlots. But this woman that reigns over the kings of the earth, that great city, she is the harlot of harlots. Now, continuing on here. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all of iron wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass, cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And you're listening. You look there at Proverbs 7, if you recall, even when we read earlier, and we'll see again as we go down through, that harlot there, that strange woman in Proverbs 7, she has her cinnamon. She has her perfumes, I mean her odors as well. Verse 14, and the fruits that thy soul lusted, see, yeah, there it is, lusted. And again, this is why in the context of defining that harlot, howbeit this harlot of harlots and her daughters, but this harlot of harlots especially, this woman that reigns over the kings of the earth, this great city, Revelation 17, 18 speaks of, again, over time, because here we see again, and the fruits of thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. God says there in the book of Numbers, their foot shall slide in due time. And so this harlot of harlots, this mother of harlots, her foot is going to slide in due time. She will reap what she sows. God is simply setting her up for the destruction that she is so worthy of. And it will come to her soon enough in God's timing and his appointed time. Verse 15, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in linen, purple, scarlet, decked with gold, and precious stones and pearls. And again, last week we talked about how even her bishops and archbishops, her cardinals, the members of her hierarchy, how they, and even her popes, they publicly appear in purple and scarlet robes. Verse 16 again, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold, precious stones and pearls. Brother Kenny, he pointed out last week again how wealthy this great city is. Billions. Verse 17, Revelation 18. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. Verse 18 down through verse 20. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she made desolate. And look at verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Think about that, dear listener. I'm reminded, Proverbs 16:4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. And again, Romans 9 is written, for what if God, willing to shew his wrath, and make his power known to dirt with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction? God, he hates this harlot of harlots with such a holy hatred that he even commands all of heaven, including his holy apostles and prophets, including you and I, as we're there in the midst. We're already seated with Christ in heavenly places on high. He commands all of heaven to rejoice over her destruction as the smoke of her torment goes up. But that does not say something about the holy hatred, again, holy hatred that God has for this harlot of harlots. Even as she has used and abused his name, taking his name in vain, flattering him in her own way with their Our Fathers and all of their dead, vain, empty traditions in his name. And again, Kenny was alluding once again to how she has killed saints in mighty, great numbers throughout church history. Verse 24, Revelation 18 says, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now, go back, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 7. And while you're going back there, I will just once again remind you, dear listener, the Word of God declares, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh again being your sinful Adamic nature, are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 6, it is written, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement, verse 7, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. So we see here this young man void of understanding. And I'm reminded of how it is written in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, to believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Verse 16, again down through verse 21, end of the chapter. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Verse 15 and 16 declares, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. But again, all unrighteousness is sin. The Word of God says in another context, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Again, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Verse 18 here in 1 John 5, again down to verse 21. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Again, when it says right there, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That's talking about your new creature in Christ. Now, from time to time, you still get in the flesh, okay? This idea that you reach a point of sinless perfection where you no longer sin even in the flesh, that's a bunch of garbage. It's a total lie from the pit of hell. here's the thing. Surely as you're saved and surely as you're born of God, you're not going to want to sin, but you're going to get in the flesh from time to time, okay? Crucifying the flesh with the affections and lust is going to be a never-ending process until we depart this body of flesh. When it says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, it's talking about the new creature in Christ. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Notice that. That wicked one toucheth him not, it's written. Another good verse right there to uphold and show the eternal security of the believer in Jesus Christ, and that you cannot lose your salvation. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Because again, you've got to remember, it's the new creature in Christ that's saved. Okay, your old man is not saved. That's why your old man had to be crucified, judged with Christ. Body of sin had to be put to death. So surely this is the new creature in Christ that is saved. The one that is born of God and sinneth not. And the wicked one toucheth him not. Again, 1 John 5:18 is another verse upholding the eternal security of the believer. And those of you that teach that men can lose their salvation once they're saved, you're teaching. The devil's lie. Verse 20 and 21 of 1 John 5. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. Oh, we just read about a man void of understanding there in Proverbs 7. Oh, but we read here. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God of eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And again, God says, first commandment there, Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is the one true God of eternal life. The Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Who or what do you bow down to and acknowledge is God, dear listener? Again, if he's not the triune God of heaven and earth, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Son of God having come down as Emmanuel, God with us, to die for our sins, to be buried and to rise from the dead the third day. If the one you call God is anyone other than him, and if the one you worship as God is anyone other than him, you are an idolater, a transgressor of God, one heartbeat from a devil's hell. And I tell you, David, to repent, you shall likewise perish, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, going after strange flesh, giving themselves over to fornication, set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal. Oh, it's written in 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, think about it. Verse 4, again, meditate, dear listener. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So again, even as that Proverbs 31 woman represents true religion, true faith, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's by the faith of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, faith in him alone, by faith in him alone that we come, and we overcome the world, and that we overcome, ultimately, that woman, that Jezebel of Revelation 17, 18, and we overcome that harlot. And we're not seduced by her as that man that is void of understanding. So, don't remain void of understanding, dear listener. If you have yet to come unto the Son of God, receive the understanding. May today be the day that you receive that understanding and are no longer void of such understanding. The Word of God says, speaking of the unregenerate, unsaved, wicked, apart from the living God and their idolatry and their unbelief, the way of peace they have not known. The way of peace they have not known. Oh, may you come to know the way of peace today, as it's found only in and through the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, manifest in the flesh, even as the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Oh, but this harlot of harlots that you read about in Revelation 17, 18, harlot of harlots, she, I mean, her ministers, they take on flattering titles. Jesus said, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Oh, she, basically, she represents, I'll say, the faith of devils. She represents false religion. She represents religious Pharisees very well. and help you understand what I mean by that, turn to Matthew 23:23. Starting in verse 1, we'll read down through verse. Scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Oh, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And love the uppermost rooms of feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. There's a good rebuke for any of you Freemasons out there listening. Verse 11, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Not that verse 9 was not a good rebuke to you Roman Catholics. Not that verse 8 wasn't a good rebuke to any of you Jewish listeners. Again, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for neither ye go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make a long prayer, therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves.
Time, you're going right down the line. I'm waiting for the good stuff here. But there was that one point that you made about the – I kind of forgot where it was there, but it was a good point there. And it was – gee, now, because you've gotten so far from it. But next time what I'll do is if you say something that I want to comment on, I'll just jump in. How's that? Catch what I said, Tim?
Yes, Kenny.
Okay.
Yes, I heard you.
Okay, so that's basically what I had to say. I just couldn't remember the point, so I'll just let us move on. And then if I catch you saying something there that I want to bring in, I will just kind of nudge into the fray there, okay?
No, I'll just ask you, and you just say if you don't have anything, because ultimately, dear listener, in this edition, we're basically just going to be looking at how this harlot of harlots, how she flatters herself, okay? In the next program, we're going to be talking about how she flatters, and I pray and I trust that her efforts to flatter you, dear listener, will certainly be in vain. So we're going to get into even more next week about this in that regard. But right now, real quickly, I would read here from 1 Corinthians, Operation Rights. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Again, the Word of God declares, 1 Corinthians 15:33, 34. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners, and even so, evil communications of this harlot of harlots, this mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, this Jezebel of Revelation 17, 18. The evil communications of that harlot, that strange woman of Proverbs 7. Such evil communications as theirs, as hers, corrupt good manners. In verse 34, wait to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Again, verse 34, and sin not. Have you awakened to righteousness? Are you determined to sin not? For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Okay, again, Kenny, if you please play our next song. Kenny, do you have our next song?
Yeah, Tim, we were just having a small technical difficulty, but here we go.
Sinking down. Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you gonna let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend it's just enough. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know, it's all I ever hear. No one ate, no one hurt, no one even shed one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your need. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Oh, can't you see it's such sin? He brings people to your door, and you turn them away as you smile and say, God bless you, be at peace, and all heaven just weep. Cause Jesus came to your door, you've left him out on the street. Give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling, and you're the one, but like Jonah, you run. He told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Oh, can't you see it? That the church just can't fight, cause it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. Oh, Jesus rose from the dead.
First Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 26. Come the first fruits of them that slept. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Kenny, would you please give a brief summary of your personal testimony of how you came to the Lord, specifically in reference to how you used to be a former Roman Catholic, you are a former Roman Catholic altar boy, and you used to serve as an altar boy in the Harlot of Harlots and her system. And in the process of sharing that, if you could maybe allude as much as possible to how the spirit of Jezebel relates to this Harlot of Harlots, please.
Well, Tim, that's the point that, in a way, I think what we need to do, like you said, go into next week, because, I mean, this has really been a good series that you started last week, you got into it this week, and I think that going into it even next week, because God even put on my heart to mention Solomon, okay? A lot of people remember King Solomon, how he had multiple hundreds of wives. But what they fail to understand about Solomon is he was actually monogamous, okay? He only had one beloved wife. That was Queen of Sheba. All of the rest of those wives, he had no affair with. He married them, but he had actually done nothing with them physically. A lot of people say, well, then what did he do with them? Well, I'd like to bring out of Song of Solomon, chapter 8, what he did with them. The Queen of Sheba, because when you read the Song of Solomon, it's actually Solomon himself and the Queen of Sheba writing back into love letters, when you look at it, really, and you break it down. It's a love letter from her to him, and then him back to her, and then her to him, and so on. Well, in the 8th chapter, we find her writing to him, and she brings out a very valid point, that she basically was his one and only, while these other women, you got to get in the coding of the wording, that other women were used for something else. Well, what were they used for? Well, when you do the study on Solomon, you find that they were, quote, strange wives, unquote. Well, why were they strange wives? Well, they were strange wives because they believed in false gods. So, speaking of the mother of harlots, when you first get into the mother of harlots, now this is interesting, and it's interesting of just about every one of, notice how we say the mother of harlots, it's true of all her children. Very, very true. A true Bible-believing church, true Bible believers, they don't make you go through classes in order to make you a member. The only classes you go through is you open your Bible and you study it when you're a true believer. According to Acts chapter 17, we do it as the Berean believers do. They studied the scriptures daily to see if those things that were being told them were true. When Paul and Peter and them came up to them and said, hey, this, 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 and this, and they said, well, okay, guys, go over there in the corner, Go on over in the corner. We're going to check this out. We're going to open the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. We're going to check out and see if what you're saying in Jeremiah, Isaiah, Malachi, da-da-da. We're going to see if what you're saying is true. Just go over in the corner. Go over in the corner. We're going to find out if it's true. Well, that's what they did. And when they searched out the scriptures, they found, wait a minute, it's true. They found out it's true. And that's the way true Bible believers work. But the mother of harlots, when I started going there, they have what they call the catechism class. What is that? Well, it's basically an initiation class that you must go through to before you become a member, before you can do anything in their, quote, church, unquote, to prove that you're worthy. Now, I could go down a list of all of her daughters that do the same thing. Jehovah's Witness, morons, we go right down the list, okay? Pentecostals, I know. Most Pentecostals would be on the phone in 5 minutes, dialing in, 424-243-9617. They'll call in, wait a minute, I didn't have to take no class. Oh, excuse me, but you did. They make you go through this, and they tell you, hey, you got to go take this, and this. We'll baptize you. We'll do all this. But you got to go through this little class. I've been in the Pentecostal church before. Mm-hmm. Didn't know that about Missionary Wolfgang. I was in there once, okay? They do that. They have you do that. And all of the harlots do that. They all take and have a class. So I went through this, what they call they just call it catechism in the Catholic Church. Now, of course, all these other places, they call it whatever. They got a name for their class, introductory, whatever. Now, of course, Nazarenes, they have their little class. Now, hello, they do. So they're one of the harlots. So they take, and you got to go through the classes in order to prove that you're worthy. Now, once you've gone through the classes, sometimes the classes are after you've been baptized in their church and become a member. Sometimes it's before you're allowed to be a member. But either case, when you get into their denomination, they make you take these classes in order so that they can indoctrinate you into their so-called belief. Well, I took the catechism classes. Okay. Well, the real reason I was there wasn't really because I believed in anything, to be honest. To be honest, I didn't really give a rip. I didn't even really believe there was that much about God. I knew there was a God. Okay, I'll go that far. I'll say that I believed that there was a God. But whether it was Jesus, Buddha, Zen, it didn't matter to me. What you call him, the Force? The Force be with you, Luke. Woo. Okay? It didn't matter to me. Okay? To me, it didn't matter. But so I just went because most of the kids at the blind school went to the Catholic Church. I wanted to be in the crowd. Had nothing to do with going because I wanted to be close to God. But since I figured, hey, look, wait a minute, the crowd is all going there, and okay, they're teaching about God, must be pretty good. So I went. Well, being the intelligent person that I am, I picked up on things very quickly. Went through the catechism. Then they noticed how good I was, the father, the priest. He saw how good I was, so he decided to take me through some other courses to become an altar boy, which was basically one of the boys that took and you put out the candles, you light the candles, you do all this other Goobly goop. Now, what are the candles in the Catholic Church? I got to let you in on a little secret. If most of you don't know what the candles are for, supposed to represent what in the Old Testament was when they burned incense to represent the prayers of the saints. And you've heard Catholic nuns say, well, I'll light a candle for you, meaning I'll pray for you. But in all honesty, it's a slide off from, believe it or not, not the kind of prayers that you would assume. In all honesty, this lighting of the candles in prayer actually comes from white witchcraft. Okay? It's connected to white witchcraft. They've, in order to get the Satanists into there, what they've done is brought the candles into it, because you notice the Mother of Harlots is the only church, quote unquote, that goes around and lights candles in their quote unquote church building as part of the service to, and claims it's part of to represent prayer and whatever. But they don't tell you what it really is. It's a connection to bring in the Satanist, because they feel the Satanist would feel more at home in their church, because the Satanist, what do the Satanists do? They light a candle to pray. How do I know that? Before I went to the Mother of Harlots, excuse me, but where do you think I would? I fiddled just a little bit in with a guy named Paul. We messed around in white witchcraft, and he had the candles. Okay? So when I ended up there, and all of a sudden I saw the candles, I said, well, hey, they're talking about God. They got the candles. Hey, this is really cool. Well, but back to my story. So since I caught on to things real good, and I was be able to be the altar boy, and here I am. Hey, now, wait a minute. Mess with witchcraft. Hey, I get to light the candles. That even makes it better, okay? Well, lo and behold, one day, this one girl at the school for the blind, she didn't go with the crowd. We're going downstream. She's a fish going upstream. Okay, she's going against the current. She's not going with the flow. Okay, we're going down the big stream. She decided to go get ready to go up the little channel somewhere. She ain't going with us. Every time we had open recreation, what does she do? Instead of going in there to play and play back ping pong or what we called air hockey or pool or whatever. What she do, she brings in two volumes of a Braille Bible. The one volume is Luke and John, and the other is Acts through Galatians. Now, that seems rather weird. She's coming to open recreation. She's got a Bible. Well, why don't you go read your Bible back in your room? Leave everybody alone. You don't have to bring your Bible to open recreation. We're supposed to be having fun. We're not wanting to hear no sermon. But that's exactly what she came to do. She came to tell everybody she could get to talking to, she going to tell them about Christ. And sooner or later, she got around to me. And that's the last thing I wanted to hear about. Hey, I go to over here to Catholic. I go over to the church. I'm hearing about God. I hear about Christ, blah, blah, blah. Okay? I say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, da, da, da. I do all that. leave me alone. She goes, nah, tradition, that ain't going to get you in. And she started working on me. Now, of course, remember, she's working on me. She's telling me the gospel. But even during this time, the Holy Spirit's working, but he hasn't really gotten through. Well, one day she invites me to a revival meeting. Now, of course, Catholic Church never had a revival. Never, 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 never has, never will. And when she invites me to this revival meeting on Sunday, I make my excuses, stay home, listen to my Led Zeppelin, okay, AC/DC, you know, all that good Christian music, right, Tim? You know, AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, all that good Christian music. She went to revival meeting. I'm being a good little Catholic boy. Monday morning, she asked, where were you? Nah, I couldn't make it. I wasn't feeling that good. Sure. She said, oh, well, okay, come tonight. That night, she went. I stayed home, stayed back at the dormitory. This went on until Wednesday morning. She says, I've had enough of your excuses. She called it like she saw it. And I had no playing around with her. She said, I don't care if I have to drag you by the hair of the head in the nude. You're coming tonight. And this girl, you wouldn't have wanted to mess with her, Tim, okay? She had upper arms the size of a man's upper leg, okay? This girl bench pressed at least 800 pounds each time because she was on the girls wrestling team, okay? And this girl was built. You wouldn't have wanted to meet her in a dark alley if she got her dander up. So I decided, okay, just to get her off my back, I went. But God was working. And lo and behold, the preacher got up. He was talking about the prodigal son and about him coming home. And he gets into his invitation. He's talking about, hey, come home to Jesus. And he's talking about not by doing good works and good deeds. And he kind of, for some reason, that particular night, hit on things that were done in the Catholic Church and says, you know, you got to come home from tradition and stuff like that. And while he's doing this, lo and behold, that song leader must have had a mind of the same thing. He said, they did for an invitational song, Lord, I'm coming home. Well, at first I'm over there clutching the pew in front of me, turning it into sawdust. I'm like, I'm not going up there. What are all my buddies going to think back at the dormitory? But finally, the Holy Ghost won out. I went up front, knelt down. The pastor led me to the Lord. And after that day, I worked for Christ. And then in 1990, I was called to preach. And ever since then, I've been working to do a ministry to the blind. Amen. All right, Tim.
Thank you, Brother Kenny. And dear listener, as you heard there, he testified about how the spirit of witchcraft was at work there in the Roman Catholic Church, and to this day it's still at work in the Roman Catholic Church, and how they use those candles to appeal to Wiccans, albeit white witches, and Satanists. Well, that should shed some new light on why it is written. Again, Revelation 18, verses 20 to 24. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Again, God hates this harlot of harlots, this mother of harlots and abominations of the earth with a holy passion, with a holy hatred. Verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And again, this religious system, this one who calls herself, she is nothing more than pagan Babylonian Baal worship covered up in a cloak of Christianity, which is one more reason why. It's written, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. verse 22, again, down through the end of the chapter, verse 24. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. Here it is, verse 23. Remember what he said now about the candles and the spirit of witchcraft. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Again, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. That word sorceries is another word for witchcrafts. Verse 24, and in her was found the blood of the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And again, there's more than one source that you could read. But again, if you've never read it before, I would recommend you read Fox's Book of Martyrs. And as we begin to wind down here in this edition of the Word of the King, again, talking about how this harlot of harlots, this mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, who calls herself Mother Church, how she and her harlot daughters, how they flatter themselves with flattering titles, and the flattering titles of her ministers. It is written in Job, the book of Job, chapter 32, verses 18 to 22. For I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles. For in doing so, my maker would soon take me away. Again, verses 21 to 22 of Job 32. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person. Don't you accept any man's person, dear listener. Don't you be a respecter of persons. Neither let me give flattering titles unto men. Don't you give flattering titles unto men. Verse 22, for I know not to give flattering titles. Do you know not to give flattering titles, dear listener? In doing so, my maker would soon take me away. You don't want your maker to take you away. Don't give flattering titles unto men. Remember, one is your master. One is your father in heaven, as surely as you are one of his. Are you one of his? John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And again, we will continue with this next week. Next week, we're going to be talking more about how this woman, this harlot of harlots, mother of harlots, and abomination of the earth, and how this strange woman, this harlot of Proverbs 7, how she flatters you and how she flatters others. Here in John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God. Be with him. Here, Nicodemus. Oh, he need not hesitate to call Jesus Rabbi, because he's speaking to the heavenly master in a human body. He's speaking to God manifest in the flesh. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, meaning truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You've been born again. Oh, you say you're a good this, you say you're a good that. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind taking us away. Just like you couldn't do anything to get born into your physical family, you can't do anything good to get born into God's family. It's the work of God that you believe on him, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? It is written in Psalm 51, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was not born right the first time, dear listener. You were not born right the first time. And she must be born again, born of the Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb, Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Word of God speaks of the Word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, the water of the Word, the water of God's Word. 6:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So there Jesus is telling Nicodemus, okay, you were born of the flesh when you were born of your mother, but now you must be born of God. You must be born of the spirit. The word of God declares, so that it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy. Verse 7, Jesus goes on and says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Again, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And as is the point of the men once to die, but after this the judgment. Reincarnation is a lie of the devil. Do not believe it. You will go to either heaven or hell when you die. There is no purgatory. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that looked for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And jump down to verse 13 here in John chapter 3. Jesus goes on. He says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So there Jesus is telling you, he's in heaven, even as he's there on earth as the Son of Man, because he's God, manifest in the flesh. And as God, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time in spirit. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. Not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Again, Muhammad, he called the truth of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Muhammad called that blasphemy, and that's why he's all the more burning in hell right now, because of it. You best not call that blasphemy, dear listener. You best call it what it is. You best believe it for what it is. Truth. A message of love. Hope. The only message of hope there is for eternity. The only message of love there is for eternity, even as God is the author and God is love. Jesus says, verse 18, down through verse 21 of John 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Do you believe on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, dear listener? But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. And this is all the more why Jesus declares, as it's written in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father shall send me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And finally, verse 21 of John 3, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So even as you are one of those who will do truth and come to the light, even as your deeds will be made manifest, they are wrought in God, come unto Jesus, unto that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And until next time, this has been Brother Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours. And Kenny will now play the invitation song. He will also let you know how you may contribute. And Lord willing, we will continue with this very topic next week on next week's edition of The Word of the King. Till next time, God bless you and yours.
Tim, since I'm not right there at the recorder, can you give just a few more comments to give me a few minutes?
Okay. So again, dear listener, is waiting here for Kenny to bring forth the conclusion here with the invitation song, final comments, closings. Again, I would encourage you, boast not yourself tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. The Word of God declares here in Paul's epistle to the Church of Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the Church of the Thessalonians, and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. And surely as you're saved and you know the Lord, dear brother, dear sister in Christ, we need to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who, at this very hour, are suffering persecution and tribulation at the hands of the enemies of the gospel. And pray for those enemies that they be saved and become enemies no more. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. See, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them to trouble you. And to you who are in trouble, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Fighting his saints to be admired of all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. And dear listeners, surely as you have yet to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that my testimony, the testimony of God's word, would be believed in your heart and among you this day. Repent ye and believe the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 11 and 12 of 2 Thessalonians 1. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right, here
Thanks
we go,
to
God. Jim.
Be to God, it is written, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And again, dear listener, we will continue, by God's grace, with this next week as we will look at this mother of harlots and abominations of the earth and the harlot, the strange woman of Proverbs 7, and how she flatters others. And I would encourage you to turn back in for next week's edition. Until next time, God bless you and yours.
Whenever I am
Right, and if you'd like to give a donation, first off, to Brother Timothy using your credit card and or PayPal account, you just go to our website, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Once you're on there and you click that on in your browser and clicked it, then go down to where it says Sow the Seed Ministries. Click Sow the Seed Ministries. Go down that page to where you see love offerings. Click that, and you'll be on Brother Tim's secure PayPal page where you can use your credit card or PayPal account. Amen. And, of course, God will richly bless you for your love gift. Of course, Tim gave you also the information at the beginning of the show where you can use your check or money order where that can be sent. Now, also, if you wish to send a check or should I say, use your credit card or PayPal account to give a donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, you just go to the same website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, and go straight down the homepage to where you see Love Offerings. Click that, and you'll be on the Holiness Bibles for the Blind secure PayPal page where you can use your credit card or PayPal account. You can also send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. Again, make checks or money orders payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, send to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. And once again, God will richly bless you. If you wish to send a love gift to the Six Eyes Radio Network, you have several options. First off, if you have a PAL account, just go to PayPal and enter the email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Or you can do that through the Holiness Bibles for the Blind webpage. Just right there where you see on the homepage, Six Eyes Radio Network, there is a link to the Six Eyes PayPal page where you can do a secure donation with your PayPal and or your credit card accounts. You can do that. Now, if you have Cash App, you can go to Cash App and enter the information, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. And, of course, in each of those cases, you just enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Now, of course, If you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, just contact Brother Six at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. In your subject line, put donation information requested, and in the body of your email, indicate that you are wishing to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network and need to pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order. All right, so with that, one last thing I want to let you know is if you wish to get a copy of this program or any other program here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, all you got to do is you got a couple options. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section. And once you're in there, you type in Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O. If you have an Android or Apple device, you'll need to first download iHeartRadio, the iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, you go to iHeartRadio. On their search box, you type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O, click enter, and then when we pop up there, you just click subscribe, and once you do, in both cases, of course, you'll have us 7 days a week for your enjoyment anytime you desire. Amen. And finally, the final option you got is to go to blogtalkradio.com/sixeyes. That's blogtalkradio.com/sixeyes. And you'll be able to find all our great programming right there. In fact, you'll be able to find out not only our current programming, but programming way back from when we started right there on Blog Talk. And, of course, you can search us out on Google. You'll find us on our Facebook page, the Six Eyes Radio Network group page, and just J-I-N. We'd appreciate that. All right. So, Tim, if you're still with us, I'll let you give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here.
Sure thing. Holy Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you, dear Lord God, and thank you, dear Lord God, again now for this opportunity to once again, dear Lord God, bring forth things of the Spirit, things of your word here in this edition of the Word of the King. We pray now, dear Lord God, for every soul that has tuned in and will tune in as the program gets posted on the radio station's website and on the different apps. Lord God, we pray for every soul that will tune in, will ever listen to this, and that have listened to this live. We pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, dear Lord God, again, Lord God, that you would help souls to benefit and to receive, dear Lord God, from you, dear Lord God, the blessing, dear Lord God, from your incorruptible seed, your inerrant word, by the power of your Holy Spirit work in each heart, Lord God. And dear Lord God, as we look forward to next week's program, according to your will, as you see fit to grant us another week here in the Word of the King, Lord God, we pray, dear God, you prepare us, dear Lord God, prepare myself and Kenny as well, dear Lord God, for the bringing forth of your words next week, dear Lord God, as we continue to look into this mother of harlots, harlot of harlots, and this strange woman. And help us all the more, dear Lord God, shun her, to avoid her, Lord God, to, Lord, walk according to wisdom, according to your spirit, according to your will, as those not void of understanding, but having received understanding by way of your Son, who has come and given us an understanding. We praise you. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. We'll catch you everybody later. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow night here on the Six Eyes Radio Network for the Wednesday night Bible study, 7 p.m. Eastern, here only at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody.